Father, in the name of Jesus, we are your people, Lord, and we thank you for all that you have done for us. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. We thank you for shelter. We thank you for food. We thank you for comfort of the Holy Spirit and comfort of the Scriptures. We thank you for the hope of eternal life. And we thank you for the abundant life that we enjoy even now. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Oh, thank you, Lord, for lifting many of us out of the miry clay. Thank you for putting our feet on the rock to stay.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for putting a song of victory in our mouth. Even this day, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and be seated. The Lord has a wonderful message for us this morning. And I'm going to get right to it. And I've got something else that I want to do after the service. So you stay with me. And this message, the Lord, he gave it to me and told me to preach it to the church. Now, before I get to this message, I want to say one thing. You see, it is not an easy thing. See, you know, to be, you know, in a position of, you know, where you preach the word, like a pastor or leadership and so forth. Because the Bible says, the Holy Ghost said, take heed, see, to the flock of God. How many of you know that's true? You see, take heed and feed the flock. You know, so, you know, my responsibility on this platform is to preach that word. You know, not to go to the left, not to go to the right, but stay right with the word of God. You know, I mean, and that's the way to do it. That's the only way I know. Praise the name of Jesus. And our job is to bring comfort to the people. You know, comfort. The Bible says, comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished. Praise ye the name of the Lord. This morning, justified in the name of the Lord. That's my message this morning. The Lord, he wants me to preach this. And I want everybody, you know, to pay attention real good. Take notes. Let's follow the scriptures. Let's see what the Lord is going to do for us. Father, we enter into your word now, Lord. The Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. Therefore, this morning, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let thy spirit deliver this message so that it will benefit our hearts and everybody will be blessed and your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. I'm starting at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I am going to read starting at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I am going to read beginning at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? See, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Now, effeminate. Some of you may not know what that word means, but that means those who are perverted, homosexuals, and all of those kind of things. You know, and abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, nor thieves, not of all these things, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, be not deceived. And you know, on this platform, since this church opened, I have preached that word of righteousness. We preached it, you know, the way we know how, that you must repent. I have preached that message on, hey, you cannot just accept. Your life must be turned around. You must be on the path of righteousness to get into the gates of heaven. We've preached that every which way we know, you know, to get the young people and everybody, you know, turn your life around. Stay on the word of God. Stay on the righteousness. Stay on the path and so forth. But I'm going to preach a little different message this morning. It's like this. Verse 11. And such were some of you. See. Some of you were unrighteous. Deceived. Were fornicators. Were idolaters. Were all these things that the Bible is listing here. But listen to what it says. See. But some were, you know, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord. See, say justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that's my message this morning. See, you were once in sin. See, you were down and out and so forth like that, but now you are washed. See, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord. And by the time we finish this message, everybody ought to be praising the Lord. See, because of, you know, what he has done, and how he has brought you out from sin and so forth like that, how he has taken you from darkness, see, and he brought you to his marvelous light. But what I'm going to talk about today is you are washed, you are cleansed, and you are justified in the name of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So let no man put any yoke upon you. Praise ye the Lord. You know, one time they called a woman, and you heard me preach, you know, and I'm going to preach in a minute from one of my favorite parables in the Bible. You know, they called a woman right in the middle of adultery and so forth, and they brought her to Jesus. You know, and all the Sanhedrin were there, the Pharisees and all of these people and so forth like that. See, and they said, look, we caught this woman right in the middle of the act. Have you ever wondered, how did they know she was right in the middle of the act? Were they peeping at the windows? Or what in the world were they doing? See. But in any case, they said, we caught this woman right in the middle of the act. See, they brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. See. And, you know, they said, well, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? You know, and so forth like that. You know, people always like, see, to crucify the sinner. See. But, you know, Jesus said, I am not. Come. To call the righteous, those who are self-righteous and so forth like that. He said, but I'm come to call the sinners to repentance. See, and to give them eternal life. And Jesus said, no. You know, I don't condemn you, but don't sin anymore. Now, we don't condone sin. Oh, no. See, I mean, you've heard me preach it and so forth, you know, and so forth. We don't condone sin. See, but the Bible says that once you are repented of your sins, once you have converted, that you are washed. How many of you say that's true? See, you are washed. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And see what it says. He said, though your sins, you know, be like crimson. What is he going to do with them? He's going to wash you and make you clean. Though they be red, you know, he's all of these things, no matter what condition, no matter how you've been. See, and this is for some people today. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah 1 and verse 18, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is what the Lord does when he changes your life. When he changes your life, that's what he does. He takes the things, he takes your sins as far from the east to the west. Psalm 103 and verse 12. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How many of you can say amen to that? Well, I don't know about you, but I am glad that the Lord has washed me. I am glad that he says, I am justified in the name of the Lord. And for some people today, you see, I don't care the condition, I don't care where you've been at. Once your life is turned around, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, see, he's a new creature.
Hallelujah.
The testimony of the lady that I gave yesterday, you know, when she turned her life to the Lord, the next thing we know, God, wipe that slate clean. You know, and it was as if it never happened. So she was in drugs, she was, you know, in and out of jail maybe, and all of these things and so forth like that. You know, but once he puts his hand upon your life, you know, he puts his hand upon your head, he speaks comfortably to you. He says, but don't return to folly, he says. You know, but he washes you, he cleanses you, he takes away all of the guilt and so forth. Romans chapter 8. And verse 1. Now therefore, there is no more any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? There is no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. If you've turned your life around and so forth, you know, there is no condemnation. And the Lord, see, as long as you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, He says there is no condemnation for you. But I'm going to read in that same chapter of Romans, I'm going to read at verse 33. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. Here's what it says. Listen to this. It says, who, see, shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Amen? Well, I'm not sure you understand what that means. See, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, who? See, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I'm going to read it in a minute. See, it's found in Revelation chapter 5. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, it is God that justifies. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Justify in the name of the Lord. Who is he that can condemn you? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is he, even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us? Christ is the one that gave his life. He's the one that took your place. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Lord, he took your place. He paid the price. And here's what he says in the book of Revelation chapter 5. He said, when John had looked up and down, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. When John had looked up and down, you say, well, I know these scriptures here. Turn with me anyway, so that we can see it together in the Bible. Revelation chapter 5, he says, when John had looked up and down, he cried much, from verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. So he cried, see, because God, he put some names in that book, and he sealed it 7 times over. It's called the book of life. See, there's chapters in that book that have your name in it. Amen. There's chapters also that gives him the title deed to all of the universe. But my name is in that book. Is your name in that book? You know, and God, he put some seals around that to make sure that nobody will get in there and blot your name out. See, you know, they can't do it because he sealed it. And John, he cried because he wanted to know so badly the contents of that book. But nobody was found worthy. And finally, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Now notice, he's looking for the lion of Judah to open the seals. But when he turned, and behold, I looked in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. That's verse 6 of Revelation 5. And in the midst of the elder stood a lamb, a bloody lamb. See, he was covered with blood, like it had been slain from the foundation of the world. This is your redemption, saith the Lord. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This lamb, he paid the price. He was all covered with blood and so forth like that. And by his blood, he purchased the right to open the book. And your name is in the book of life. And God, he said in his own mouth, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. How many of you say praise the Lord? You know, but if it is left to people, boy, I tell you, they will blot your name out of that book of life. You know, they will. See, but aren't you glad today that that book is in the hands of the Lord? You know, and it's not in any man's hands. Because if they gave, if the Lord were to allow, that's why he put the 7 seals on it. Make sure nobody gets in there. Make sure that devil, which is the accuser of the brethren, see, doesn't get in there. And he cannot touch the names. He said, I will give them eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. Amen. You know, and so, you look, you say, well, my life, and so forth like that. No. You know, when any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are at. And how you got there and so forth like that. You know, if you have said in your heart, Lord, cleanse me and make me a new person, and you confess your sins and you've given your life to the Lord, and the Lord, he takes that life, he wipes it clean, and it's as if it never happened. Praise ye the Lord. He said in the sea of forgetfulness, he takes all of that. He takes them as far from the east to the west. He separates you from your sins. He even takes the sin nature. See? And Jesus said to the, you know, to the Pharisees, he said to the all of these people, so forth, he said, look, the publicans, see, and the sinners, they will go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because, see, they're looking at them. He said, even the children of, you know, Abraham, I mean, the, you know, the children of the kingdom will be cast out. Why? All of these so-called harlots, sinners, and so forth, they'll come into the kingdom and they'll sit down. Why? See, because, do you know why Jesus said it that way? Because that people are still looking at them as harlots. They're still looking at them as sinners. They're not knowing that those people have confessed their sins and they have been cleansed, they have been washed, and they have been justified in the name of the Lord. How many of you can say justified in the name of the Lord? Oh, yes, sir. You know, once the Lord, he justifies you, and I'm going to read for you how the Lord does it in a minute. Once he justifies you, it's like it never happened. You see? But you know, people, you know, the human nature, they look at you like that, you know, see? And so forth, you know. And even Paul, see, he prayed about it, you know, and the Lord, he wouldn't take it away, see? Some of you say, well, you know, I don't know what that thorn in his life was, but the Lord told me, see, that there were many things, but there was one part of it. See, was Paul, he used to persecute the church and so forth like that, you know? And even when he got converted, see, the people would still not believe. See, they would doubt him, they would question him and so forth like that. You see, and everywhere he went, he said, are you not the one that used to kill the saints and so forth like that? And that thing stuck with him all the rest of his life, you know. And Paul, he, you know, he agonized and said, Lord, you know, I've done everything for these people. You know, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, and he wanted so badly, the Lord just erased it, you know. But the Lord did. See, but the people, they wouldn't let him, they wouldn't let him leave it down. See, he wouldn't leave that down. They would shove it in his face the rest of his life and so forth like that. You know, but Paul, you know, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient unto me. You know, Jesus, he told many parables in the Bible, and I love those parables. You heard me say it many times. And here's one of my favorites right here. Luke chapter 15, turn with me. Right here on this platform, you know, I've preached about this parable many times and so forth, but there's a point I want to bring out this morning. Luke chapter 15, this is the story of the prodigal son, you know, and you've heard me read this story. You may have read it. If you've gone to Sunday school, you've read it, and it's in the Bible, and everybody can read the whole story. And in Luke 15, I start at 11. A certain man had two sons, and you know the story. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of my goods that fallen to me. And he divided unto them. And so this guy, he went. And he did the unthinkable. You know, he went into sin. He did riotous living. He went into harlots and all these things and so forth. See? But he wasn't converted when he did all those things. See? You know, he did all those things while, you know, Paul said, I did those things ignorantly in unbelief. He did all of those things ignorantly, you know, believe. He did those things when he was, and finally, a lot of things happened to him, and he was down, he was out, you know, he was covered in shame and disgrace and everything. He was even eating the food for the pigs and all that. He wanted to, they wouldn't even give it to him. And so one day he said, when he came to himself in verse 17, how many hired servants are in my father's house that have food enough to spare and so forth? And I'm here suffering and all of this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father. And that's the secret right there. How many of you say amen? You know, if you stay in your sin condition, God cannot help you. See, but you must return unto the Lord. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And so forth like that. I am no more worthy. See, I'm not even worthy to be a son. I'll be, you know, make me a servant. That's good enough. See, but that's not good enough for the father. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. See, this guy, he said, I don't even care. I don't deserve to be a son no more. I just let me hang around the house. Even if it's the crumbs of the food and all of that, I know I'll be a lot better than where I am at right now. And when he came back, the story says, the father, of course, always looking out for him, waiting for him to come back all the time. Because as soon as he was coming, he saw him afar off. He'd been watching and waiting for him. See, and he ran, that father, he did. He ran, he said, the father, here's what he did. He came to his father, and when the father was, you know, saw him a yet great way off, verse 20, he saw him and had compassion and ran, you know, and threw his arms around him and kissed him. See, and he said, oh boy, you know, and the boy said, Lord, Father, I have done all these things. And the father said, shh. And he turned around to his servants and said, come on now, let's make some noise. Let's rejoice because my son has come back home. How many of you say praise the Lord? And look at what the father did. Here's what I want to bring out. See, now because this story is interesting, it has many different, you know, facets to it. And every time you preach it, there's always something new. You know, the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. See, the best robe, not the second best. Bring forth the best robe. This is Luke 15 and 22. Don't take my word for it. Read it straight out of the Bible. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring, that's his signet of authority. See, put a ring on his finger. See, and put the shoes on his feet. And take him out like a priest. Amen. You know, he could have said, well, you know, you've been out there in the world and so forth. You've done all of this evil and all that. Well, you're back now, but you don't really deserve nothing anymore. So I'm just going to put you over here in the corner and so forth like that. But no, did the father do that? Uh-uh. The father said, I'm going to make some noise. I am going to rejoice because my son was lost and he's back. And Jesus turned around and said, the same way the heavens are rejoicing every time that somebody comes back home. And now, look at what happened. And, you know, my son was dead, he's alive, he's lost, he's found. And they began to make merry. You know, and the older brother, he came and he found all this noise in verse 25. And he said, what's going on? They said, your brother has returned. And he was angry. He would have no part of it because he wanted the father to punish him. And he said to the father, why are you now rewarding him? See, now, I want everybody to listen to this. Why are you rewarding this, your son that has spent all the living with the harlots and so forth? What kind of a message would that send to others? See, that you now reward him for all the things that he has done. See, I mean, he's done all this evil and he's coming back and you're putting the best robe on him and you're putting the ring on his finger and so forth. That's like rewarding him for all the, you know, so you're saying that it's okay for him to go out and do all those things and then he come back and you still bless him with all this. And if I say, I'm not rewarding him for nothing. I am rejoicing. Praise ye the Lord. See, the Lord is not rewarding anybody for nothing, but he is making a loud noise and joy and so forth in the camp when any of his sons or daughters come back home. See, and that's the bottom line. See, the Lord is happy. You better get on the camp of the Lord. You better be happy with the angels and be happy with the Lord and so forth. But you know, the accuser of the brethren, he doesn't like this. He goes to the Lord and say, you know that your son and such and so forth like that. You know, and the Lord says, I don't see it. All I see is the blood. All I see is the blood of Jesus. The blood has cleansed you. The blood has sanctified you and you are justified in the name of the Lord. Now that doesn't condone anybody living in sin and so forth like that. But I'm talking about you have confessed. You have repented. God, he doesn't hold it against you. How many of you say praise the Lord? I'm going to ask us a question, everybody that is seated in here. You know, if you are that person that has never in your life offended the Lord, you were born righteous, you were not born in sin, you never had the sin nature, you have never done anything in your life against the Lord. Even the blood that Jesus shed, the death that he died on the cross was not for you because you were perfect already from the beginning. And he has never, the Lord, no, none of these things could touch you because you were perfect from the beginning. See. Now, if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand up. See, you were never a sinner. See, you never had to repent of nothing. Jesus didn't even have to die for you because you were already perfect from the beginning. See, I'd like to see a show of hands this morning. I'd like to see somebody this morning tell me that they were righteous, they never did anything wrong. I don't see any hands. Praise the Lord. And neither indeed can there be any hands. Because God has concluded all under sin, that he might have mercy upon all. That's the way he works it. He concludes all. I don't care what your sin was, lying, whether it was fornication, sin is all the same. You told one little lie, you told, he said, liars. No liars shall have their part in the lake of hell. How many of you know that? See, some of you think, oh, I just told a little lie. No, sir. See, you better be righteous by the blood of Jesus or you're not going to make it in. See? And so, you know, all of us, we stand condemned before the Lord, if not for the blood of Jesus. But it is that blood that washes us and cleanses us and makes us justified. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. And the Lord, he forgets, he chooses not to remember. He said, I will blot out your transgressions, and I will not remember your iniquities. He said, as far as the east is from the west, I will cleanse you and take it all out. And he even takes the sin nature out. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And the Lord, he doesn't hold it against you for the rest of your life. But the people, sometimes, oh, they would like to do that, you see. You know, but it is with God that we have to do. And it is the Lord that we have to answer to. And it is the Lord that died, yea, rather that is risen again. So you need to rejoice. And some of you in here this morning, you've done some unimaginable things. See, you've done some unimaginable things. Some of you should even be in jail this morning. See, because you've done some things. But the Lord, he covered your transgressions. See, blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered. Amen. Unto whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So the Lord, he has covered many of us, you know, and we've done all kinds of evil before the Lord. But listen to this. You know, the older brother, he said, you know, this guy, he doesn't deserve this. I mean, look at all the things he's done down there with the harlots and so forth. We heard all the rioting and so forth that he did. I mean, look at the life he lived. I've been here all this time and so forth, doing your will and so forth. I mean, look at this guy. Look at him already, you know, and you can't, he doesn't deserve any of this. Well, maybe not, but let's see what the Lord has to say. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Let's see what the Lord has to say about that. Revelation chapter 19, and I'm going to read from verses 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now, some of you don't know that the Lord has wife. See? And to her, this is where I really want to read. And to her was granted, not that she deserved it, but it was granted to her that she should be arrayed with white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. She doesn't deserve it, but the Lord granted it to her. This son that came back didn't deserve the ring, he didn't deserve the best robe, but the father granted it to him. And who are you to complain about the Lord and what he does? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, when the Lord, he grants it, nobody can say otherwise. He granted it, and he even sealed that book 7 times over to make sure nobody gets in there and erases your name. See, and Jesus, when he opened the book, he was the only one that had the you know, that qualified to open it. And he said, I will not blot out your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, some of you ought to praise the Lord this morning. Oh, because if the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord, if these things were in the hands of other people, you would never make it in. You would never make it to the kingdom of God. Because people look at the life that you once lived And they hold that over your head for the rest of your life. See? And you will never make it in if it were left to people. But I want to tell you this morning that you are justified in the name of the Lord. The Lord has cleansed you. He has washed you. He doesn't look at you like that. He looks at you as my child is back home. Amen. Can I get a praise over here? Yes. My son is come home. My daughter is come home. That's what matters to the Lord. Oh my, the Lord, he has long patience too. You know, he knows what he's doing. You mess around long enough, the Lord, he'll make sure that you get what's coming to you. You know, while you're out there and see, he'll make sure. Oh yeah, absolutely. Some of you young people, you stay. I want you to stay on the path of righteousness. This is not a message to encourage you to go into sin and say, I can always come back. No, because the Lord is going to fix it. He said, let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is unrighteous be righteous still. There's a time that he fixes it and you will not be able to repent. See, there's coming a time that he cuts it short. And you cannot do any way, which way, if you are holy, you stay there. You can't go back and forth. That's not what we are talking about this morning. But we are talking about those of you who have genuinely been cleansed. You have given your life to the Lord and so forth like that. Don't you get down on yourself. And don't you let nobody put a yoke on your head. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. When the Lord that saved you, when he sees the reward of his soul, he will be satisfied. Every time the sinner comes back home, he is satisfied. Praise the Lord. Every time somebody comes back, the Lord is rejoicing. Amen. You know, and that's the way it ought to be and so forth. You know, and every time that we turn back to the Lord, you know, the Lord, he rejoices. See? And, but some of you young people, don't wait until you get old before you turn back. Because the olden days, are, you know, the days and so forth are coming when you have no pleasure in all the things the Bible says. Consider the Lord in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 1. In the days of your youth. This is the time for you. Don't wait. No, you get in there and serve the Lord now. See, I've heard testimony of people said, I wish I would have served the Lord when I was a youth. I would have done this and all that. Well, you have the chance now, you young people. Get in there and do all you can for the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And be an example of the believer. See, but don't let anybody put a yoke on you. And I've got a warning from the Lord. I'm going to read this part as a warning to every one of us. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Everybody, please turn with me to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read this story. This is a warning from the Lord to every one of us. Here's what it says. In verse 9, he said, Jesus, he spake. This is Luke 18 and verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. See, you look down on people and so forth because of whatever they've been in their life or what they've done in the past and so on. You know, so Jesus, because he saw, he knew the hearts of the people, and he saw that there were some people that were trusting in themselves that they are righteous. See, like this older brother, he said, look, hey, I've never done anything wrong. And look at this, your son, and so forth. Look at what he's done. And now you're rewarding him for all he's done. What kind of message, you know, is that supposed to give to, you know, the rest of the people here and so forth? Are you trying to tell us that it's okay for us to go out in the world, do all these things, and then we'll come back and be rewarded? Some of you might say that this morning. Say, you know, what is it preaching this morning? Is it saying that, you know, it's okay to go out and do the world, all these things, and then come back and reward them? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that when you have come back to the Father, he has erased it. And you are cleansed, and you are justified, and you are washed, and he has set you free. And let no man put again over you the yoke of bondage, because the Lord has set you free. So two men went to pray, and one of them was a Pharisee, and the other was a sinner. They used the word publican for sinners, tax collectors, and all of these things and so forth. You say, tax collectors, yes. Because see, they hiked up these taxes and so forth. They, you know, the person owes 100 things, measures, they tell them they owe 1,000. They put tarts on it and so forth. They grab everything and, you know, they repossess everything from them and so forth. And they didn't turn those monies back to the government either. They ate up all those monies. See? I mean, they were considered wicked and so on. So this man, you know, he was one like that. And he was a Pharisee, which was the sect of the self-righteous. So the two of them, they went to pray. And the one said, you know, the Pharisee said, you know, I'm not like the other person and so on. I fast twice a week. I do all these things. See? You know, the Lord didn't say he didn't do any of those things. The Lord didn't argue with him at all. See? But there was pride in his heart. How many of you know there was pride in his heart? He trusted in his own self-righteousness and his prayer was not accepted. But the other guy, the Bible says he could not even so much as lift up his head to heaven. In verse 13, he could not even so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, and he smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Now many of you have prayed a sinner's prayer, and I want to tell you that this man, he went home justified. The Bible says right here, it says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Now that's that word again, justified. It's what we are preaching this morning. He confessed his sins, and the Lord justified him. And you know, he got up from that prayer. And he walked out of that church that morning. And the people were looking at him. Look at him. Tax collector. Look at him. You know, and so forth. Not knowing that he's already been justified. How many of you say amen? He's already been cleansed. He's already been justified. He got up and he was going home. And everyone, you know, everybody got away from him because he was marked a sinner, see. And then, you know, they would go going to hold that over his head for the rest of his life. But the Lord has already cleansed him. He's already been justified. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell us that this morning, we ought to be careful not to be self-righteous. And not to despise others. Because you never know who the Lord is going to use. See, you saw this Saul. You know, saw all the things he did to the church and so forth like that. And look at all the things he did later on for the church. Because when the Lord gets a hold of somebody, boy, I tell you what, he knows how to pick them. And when he does pick you, there is a reason for it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And if you were already cleansed, then you wouldn't need the Lord, see. You know, so that's the way. It is the Lord that brings the cleansing into our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you say praise the Lord? I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. And verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 7. This is still something for us to consider this morning. It's a warning, see, from the Lord this morning for us. Sorry, I said Luke. I meant Matthew chapter 7. Because I was in Luke, so I said Luke. This is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, this is the Lord speaking directly. So the Lord knows what he is doing. See, for with what judgment ye judge, the same shall ye be judged. And with what measure you mete out, it shall be measured to you again. Now, how many of you understand this scripture? The Bible is saying, whatever standard you use, it will be used for you. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. I don't know if you know that, if you have that, the Bible, you know, red lining, these are the texts, this is the word of Jesus right here, straight out of the mouth of Jesus. Judge not, that you be not judged. See, he said, because the measure, you know, if you look at somebody and say, well, because they've done this thing, that means they don't deserve anything, that same measurement will be used for you. How many of you understand that that's what the Lord is saying here? Can I get an amen on that? That's what the Lord is saying. If you say one way or the other to somebody, the Lord is going to turn around and use that same measurement on you. See, because that's what he's saying here. You know, and but if you are merciful, say, blessed are the merciful, for they themselves shall obtain mercy. If you are merciful, if you are kind, if you are compassionate, then you also will receive mercy. And I want to also caution us that sometimes the prayers might even be hindered. You say, prayers might be hindered? Yes. In Isaiah chapter 58, turn with me quickly to verse 9 of Isaiah 58. You know, your prayers might even be hindered when you have the putting forth of the finger. See, now you say, what's the putting forth of the finger? Well, let's read it here. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9. See, and thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, you know, and he shall say, here I am. But here is the condition for him answering your prayer. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, don't put any more yoke on the people than they already have. And it's putting off of the finger, you know, the finger, you point, you know, and so forth like that. Say, hey, look at that person and this and all so forth. Say, look, this is the condition for your prayer to be answered. This is the condition for your voice to be lifted up to the Most High and for the Lord to do your bidding. Is you must put away from the midst of you the yoke. You see, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. See, Jesus never puts heavy yoke upon people, but the people, they laid him. See, they laid him. See, they compass land and sea to make twice the child of heaven. They laid in the people with all kinds of burdens and so forth that they themselves cannot bear. That's what Jesus said. They themselves cannot bear these things, but they laid in the people and so forth. The gospel is really very simple. Repent and be converted, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's really very simple and so forth. Stay on the paths of righteousness, sir. Don't go back into sin. Love the Lord with all your heart. But don't let anybody put the yoke upon you. And if you put forth the finger and you speak vanity and so forth, beware, because your prayer might be hindered. Now, I don't want my prayer to be hindered. I have received mercy of the Lord, and I want to extend the same mercy that I have received to everybody else. And it's my job on this platform to bring comfort. Amen. How many of you like that, the sound of that? Bring comfort to the people and so forth like that. That's the role of the pastor. See? Bring the comfort and so forth. Of course, you know, we rebuke the sin and so forth. Say, all that sin, rebuke them sharply so that they may, everybody else may learn. See, but, you know, also we bring comfort to the people and so forth. You know, we encourage the hearts of the people. We want the people not to get down on themselves. And we want you to love the Lord with all your heart. We want you to be encouraged to serve the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm going to close with this section, you know, in Acts chapter 10. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Now this story, some of you may have read it before, but I'm going to paraphrase it. In Acts chapter 10, there was a story of a man called Cornelius. And he was praying and so forth. He was a man that fasted and gave alms and did all these things before the Lord. And, you know, on one side Cornelius was praying, and on the other side Peter was praying. And I'm going to talk about the vision of Peter, not Cornelius this time. So the vision of Peter, he saw something fall coming down from heaven, see. And he saw on the thing, you know, there's like a sheep that had all kinds of four-footed beasts and animals and so forth. And the Lord told him, rise up, Peter, and kill. Verse 13. And there came a voice and said, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. And Peter, you know, Peter was always one that wasn't going to hold back anything that was on his mind. He was going to say it. See, so he told the Lord, oh, no, no. See, I'm not going to eat anything that is unclean or common or nothing like that. See, the Lord told him. Now, can you imagine? The Lord told him. Come on now. You know, rise up and kill and eat. And say, Lord, you must be mistaken. This thing here is unclean. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to have any part of it. And the voice spoke unto him in Acts chapter 10 and verse 15. The voice spoke unto him again the second time and said, what God has cleansed. Amen?
Yes.
What God, anybody here that God has cleansed? Call thou not common or unclean. When God has cleansed somebody, don't look at them as though they are common or unclean, because you don't know. See, praise the Lord. You don't know because the Lord has already cleansed them. You know, the Lord has already cleansed. He said, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are cleansed, and you are justified in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you feel like shouting this morning? Knowing that the Lord, he has justified you and he's not holding any of these things over your head. Yes, sir. Some of you young people, you know, maybe you fell into sin while you were young and so forth like that. You know, and it doesn't matter what you did, fornication and so forth, and all that. Maybe got pregnant out of wedlock and so forth like that. You know, it doesn't matter what you did. If you truly confess your sin, sir, and you are on that path of righteousness, the gates of heaven will receive you. Amen. It is the gates of hell that are trying to prevent you from getting to the gates of hell. Oh, but no, sir, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The Lord, He has lifted you up. And don't you get down on yourself. And don't let nobody put any yoke on you. Amen. Lift up your head. And let the King of Glory come into your life. You say, yes. Yes, indeed, I used to do that. See, that's the fact. But there's a difference between fact and truth. The facts are, yes, you did that, but the truth is that God has set you free. And He said, if any man be free, he is free indeed. See, what God has cleansed, let no man call common, and so forth like that. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet and let us pray. I want everybody that said this morning, if you have ever done anything before the Lord, you were not born a saint. So you were not born righteous and perfect. You were not such a person that did not need the sacrifice of Jesus. See, you were once in sin. See, you were in darkness and so forth. I want every one of us, if you know that the Lord has turned your life around, I want you to give Him some praise this morning. Oh yes. If you know the Lord has turned your life around, you used to be in sin. You may have done fornication, adultery, whatever. You may have killed somebody. I don't know. I don't care what you've done. See, you have turned your life around. You have laid hold on the horns of the altar. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, and the Lord, He has blessed you. I want you to raise up your hands and praise Him. If that's you this morning, lift up your hand and praise the Lord for all that He has done. If He has cleansed you, if He has brought you out of darkness, if in your heart you know that you love the Lord with all your heart, not looking at the past, not looking at what you've done before, but you know that you have turned your life around, I want you to give the Lord some praise. Just open your mouth and thank Him for what He's done. Give Him some praise up in here. Some of you have done some unimaginable things, and so forth like that. People look at you and so forth like that, but the Lord, He has taken away. Say, I love that man of God because He has taken away my sins. He has taken away my sins. He has cleansed me. He has put the Holy Ghost within. All those things I did ignorantly in unbelief. But now I am saved. Now I am washed. Now I am cleansed. Now I am justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many of you can say, I am justified in the name of the Lord? Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, but He rose again for our justification. See, if Jesus was still in the grave, then you would not be justified. But because He blasted out of those graves, the power of the grave could not hold Him down. He did this for you and for me. Oh, and I know based on that infallible word of God, I am justified in the name of the Lord. Are you justified this morning? Oh, can you rejoice this morning? Can you rejoice that you are justified this morning? Oh, I tell you what. Jesus said, bring forth the best robe. The best robe in the house. Bring my ring and put it on His finger. Amen. And He didn't say, well, you've been out in sin and so forth like that. I'll receive you, but I'll put you in the corner, see. I'm not going to make noise and so forth. I'm just going to put you in the corner, see. Now, see, how many of you would love the promise where Jesus said, He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne? How many of you would love that promise? Oh, boy. Well, how would you like it if the Lord said to you, well, you can never sit in my throne because you were in sin and you did all of these things, even though you've repented. See, but if I put you on my throne, it'll be like rewarding you for all of the things that you ever did. So I'm not going to put you on my throne. See, I'm going to just put you over in the corner. But He didn't say that. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. He said, He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in His throne. If you overcome that sin nature, He will put the best robe on you. He will put a ring in your finger and he will put you right smack in the middle of his room. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, there is a spirit of grace upon me this morning. The grace and the mercies of God all over this audience in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord Jesus, the love covereth a multitude of sins, sir. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let the love of the Holy Ghost that is shed abundantly abroad in our hearts, let it cover every heart this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for how you have received us. You have taken us from the sinful nature and you have transformed our lives. And we love you with all of our hearts. And we praise you, Lord, for what you have done. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Come on now, give him some clap. Give him a praise. Oh, yes. Oh, he has done so much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 3. And the Lord, he was standing right there, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him and to accuse him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you. O Satan, the Lord, even the Lord who has chosen, put your name there. So in Zechariah chapter 3, the Lord who has chosen, put your name there, rebuke thee. And is this not the brand that is plucked out of the fire? That's in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. The devil he came up against, he said, look, he's done all these things. He's clothed with filthy garments and so forth. The Lord said, I plucked him out of the fire. Amen. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. This is Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 3. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and he stood before the angel. See? And the Lord, see, the angel of the Lord, he answered and said to those that stood by, take away the filthy garments from him. Amen. And he said, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And say, let them set a fair mitre, that's a crown, upon his head. See, after he takes away the filthy garments, he puts the crown back on your head. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So they set a fire mitre upon his head, and they clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. The Lord, he watched it, and he was happy that, oh, they took away the garments, the filthy garments, and they put him with a change of raiment. Father, we thank you for taking away the filthy garments in our lives. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving us a change of raiment. Thank you for putting the crown back on our heads. Thank you for giving us the best robe again and putting a ring back on our finger. And thank you for the promise that we shall sit with you in your throne. In spite of everything that we've done against the Lord and so forth, the Lord has washed us clean. He has washed us, he has saved us, he has cleansed us. By the offering of himself, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has justified them in the Lord. And there is no more condemnation. You are justified in the name of the Lord. Let's give a loud hand clap this morning. Oh, yes. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, there is no more condemnation. You should not be condemned. And don't let anybody ever put any yoke upon you again. Praise you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and be seated.